definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com. We will be rolling till 11 this morning. I am Jeff Haxton, live in Lawrence, Kansas, at the Oread Hotel. Back at the First United Bank Studios is the one, the only, Christopher Lovell. Good morning, Lovell.
I'm waving at you, man, but you can't see me.
No.
Yeah. Hey, just for me, just wave back. Just wave back. There we go. Okay, good. Yeah, so we're no, man, good to be here. Yeah, I appreciate being included. I'll try to make your life as easy as possible here in the next couple hours. I know the road trip life. You're getting toward the tail end of it. So, geez, man, and a lot going on.
Yeah, it's only November to June, you know, where you're out and about, galloping about, but trip so far so good. It's just, it's been nothing but rain ever since we landed. And I mean, like storms, like it's, you know, not blow you off the road storms, but lightning and thunder and that kind of deal. And just quite a bit of rain, so we'll have to see about tonight. I know there's rain chances pretty much the entire time we're here, so we'll have to do something. But how's it in Lubbock?
Beautiful. About mid-70s right now, sunny, just a few clouds. So, yeah, all good here. It would have been a good weekend to play some home baseball, but, you know, that's not how it always works, right? You don't get to play at home every weekend.
You know, I always hear stories of, well, we tried to get it to, you know, we knew it was going to rain at your place, and we tried to get it to move, but y'all didn't want to do it, and, you know, logistically, it's nearly impossible to move when you get that close, but it's just something that you have to deal with, and, you know, that's another thing, is I was talking to Gus about it, because we haven't had to deal with it. We played every game. Usually, by this time, you've had a few that you said, hey, we're just not going to play that one. We're just not going to play today.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. But we've been able to play all of them and get through all of them on the schedule, and hopefully we'll do it again this weekend. I don't know why, Lovell, because I haven't lost my interest in the NFL at all. It's probably at its peak, I would say, my interest in the game over my lifetime, but I probably watched 5 minutes of the draft, man. I had no interest in it. Did you inhale that last night? Did you watch it?
I watched every pick. I'm a sucker for the NFL draft. I think 275,000 people were in attendance, and you know, you may be thinking about me like, dude, what'd you waste your time watching that for? I love it, but then I'm thinking about the people that are just standing there. Nobody's winning or losing. You're just part of this giant production known as the NFL. They just stood there, but 275,000 folks. It was an enormous crowd there in Detroit last night. But yeah, I watched every pick. We can get into any of that. We can. You know, the Cowboys made an interesting move and set themselves up for a lot of activity tonight based on said move. And we had a wild pick at number 8. I think the first 14 players in this draft were on the offensive side of the ball, which was a bit tricky. And 6 quarterbacks go in the first round. So, yeah, there was a lot of activity.
Well, talk about what the Cowboys did.
Okay, so, you know, there's all kinds of ways to look at a draft. You have needs. You have the way to play the draft board. You have the way you need to kind of manage your limited assets and all these things. I think that they liked this player. I think they needed an offensive line help. I think it whether it be an interior or a tackle or whatever. And so, you know, the argument leading up to this draft was, what if you could get the top interior offensive lineman versus like the sixth or seventh best tackle, you know? But they also, because of the Trey Lance trade and some different things that they moves they had made last year, like trying to, you know, trade for Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks, they had lost some draft capital in this year's draft. So I think the thought was, okay, we need offensive line help. We need running back. We need a linebacker. We need defensive tackle. We need these things. But we'd also like to recoup some of our draft capital that we lost and traded away. And so I think that what most people are going to say today is that whether you like the player or not, they got Tyler Guyton from University of Oklahoma, left tackle. He was a transfer from TCU. He's a bit raw, but they were able to move back five spots, and they pick up a very high-end third-round pick. And so I think because you get this player, if you just take this player at 24 – it's one thing, but because you get him at 29 and now you can pick a second player at the top end of the third round, I think that that people were pretty thrilled with the way that they managed the situation. But again, you now have to hope that but the Cowboys picking an offensive line in the first round deserve the benefit of the doubt. They have selected, I don't know, 6 to 8 of them over the last 15, 20 years, and their track record is pretty darn salty. Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, on and on it goes. So they have, I mean, and the kid that they picked from University of Tulsa, Tyler Smith, a few years ago, is turning out to be a really good player too. So that's partly why I think they'll get some benefit of the doubt. And I'm fully aware that Dallas probably shouldn't deserve a lot of benefit of the doubt out there. But as far as offensive line in the first round, this is one thing where they probably should.
Yeah, it just seems like you could almost pencil it in that, what offensive lineman the Cowboys are going to draft this year. And don't you think people get tired of that?
Yeah, well, it's boring, you know, from the standpoint of, is that what you mean? Like tired of ticking? Yeah, it's I think there's not a sexy component to taking offensive lineman in the first round. But, man, I know that and you got to have good ones, you know, and yeah, it can be kind of non-sexy and all these things. I certainly understand that, but man, it's going to decide whether you win or lose. I mean, the only time that I remember being like frustrated with, you know, offensive line picks was when I was much younger and didn't really understand.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I want to see the guy in college that was throwing it, that it was carrying it, that was catching it, that was
Michael Irvin.
Yeah, that was blowing up QBs. But as I've gotten older, I get it, man. And tackle's a premium position. So we'll see what they do today, and I can talk all the draft you want, but they're going to ultimately end up picking four players in the top 100, assuming they don't trade around and do some different things. But that's the way it's set up right now. But I hear music. That means it's time to pay some bills. Yes
it is. And I will send us to that break. I'm Hacks in Lawrence, Kansas. Chris Level back on with us. It's quite a treat here to have Level with us here today. We'll come back and have some headlines next here on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Back here on the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com, a Hacks Level edition of this program. Level, I'm currently catching a funny video even without the sound. It's from Ruin Metropole Basket. Any idea what who might be playing on that team?
I have is this just one of the former Red Raiders? I'm not even going to give you a venture a guess. I'm sorry.
All right, it's French.
Oh, Davide Moretti. Or could it be Clarence Nadolny? Where are we going?
Clarence Nadolny.
Oh, okay.
So it's it's asking each one of these guys who they think are going to win the NBA championship.
Oh, okay.
The first guy on the video is Clarence, and he's got a long sleeve Texas Tech shirt on.
Very nice.
Over in France. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very nice.
And he guesses that the Celtics are going to win it all. The funniest part of the video is when one guy says he thinks the Spurs are going to win it all.
Yeah, maybe in the decade, but not this season. Yeah, no. It's so, yeah.
This guy says the Spurs, and then they Les Spurs. And then they put in Michael Scott behind him going, no. When he sees Toby.
Well, he's got to support Victor Wembanyama somehow.
Yeah, there you go. French mates. Yeah, there you go. Wimby.
Les Spurs.
Yeah, and I guess France is going to be like the sports capital of the world this summer. That's where
we got the Olympics, right?
That's right. Yes. Paris? Yeah, I'll actually, ironically enough, be in Paris 3 weeks before the Olympics start.
Whoa, so, look at you.
Yeah, never been. But yeah, that's I think there's a lot of extra folks expected in the area because of said Olympics. But yeah, that's always I dig this Summer Olympics, man. That's fun.
It's a good thing you're not Woodman. There would be massive taunting and ripping of you for your going to Paris. He also just hosted the End of the Bench Derby. Did you hear about the End of the Bench Derby?
Okay, well, no, but back up. Why would he taunt me about, like, because...
Well, I would taunt you. I would... The fat cat thing, you know?
Oh, where... yeah, no. This is me just catching a ride with the rest of the family. I mean, I had nothing to do with it. So, yeah, this isn't... Yeah, no, I'm certainly not. But I've never been, would probably have never have gone, but was kind of, like, invited or included on such things. But, yeah. Okay, so explain to me the... Yeah, we do have Kentucky Derby coming up here pretty quick. Is that next weekend? A week from tomorrow?
Yeah. We try to time it up pretty close.
Okay.
The End of the Bench Derby, where we've had Inner City Squirrel win in 2022, Gas Station Fireball won last year, and Lucas, I've already forgotten who won this year.
Is this like, how do y'all come up with these names? Is this like, find the what you ate last night, combine it with the last place that you went and the last person that you talked to, and then you put them together, and this is the horse's name. How do y'all come up with these names?
The Hibachi names are, Sadness won this year.
Hibachi Sadness was the winner this year.
Okay. All right.
So,
of course,
to give you an example on they all the names happen through conversation on the End of the Bench and some on the bottom line.
Okay.
And listeners will hear something that we say and either, tweak it a little bit, like Hibachi Sadness. That came from the End of the Bench Olympics because Woodman had too much hibachi and couldn't stop a soccer ball. So he lost in the soccer challenge, and that brought him the sadness, and then Hibachi Sadness.
Okay.
Is a horse name and ended up winning with 50-1 odds.
Gotcha.
So one of mine that I had was Biblical Battery. And that was because of the battery that I hit in my charger, ripping the transmission out. And when I say, so I don't know, I attached biblical to it. Like we had that biblical hailstorm, right? That was a biblical battery. There you go. And then they put odds to him, and Clint calls a real race, and it's pretty thrilling. It was good stuff.
That's the Derby's a bucket list thing for me. I think that would be a scene. I would love to
who's going?
Isn't he Woodman going, or his wife, or somebody?
Both.
Yeah. Okay. I knew it was a bucket list thing for him. And I'd be curious. I guess he'll be in here in a little while. I'll just ask him or make fun of him or I don't know something, but or throw a mint julep at him or whatever. But I'd always want to know how are you doing it though? Are you just kind of barely, you an infield guy? Are you sitting in the box guy? Do you have any idea like what you're supposed to do? I mean, have you got your seersucker suit already, you know, fitted to you? Does the missus have a fancy hat? I mean, you know, whatever. I don't know. Because I don't want to be, if you're going to go to something like that, you want to be informed. You don't want to like go and then screw it up and be like, man, we showed up too late, or we didn't get the right ticket, or we just, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't, I just like to know.
kind of along those lines, they had a thread on Twitter of things left behind at Talladega. And you would not believe, like, entire living room sets. I mean, huge leather couches.
I think what goes on in the infield, especially if the weather gets a bit rough, I think it's kind of like Woodstock-esque. Like, what goes on in the infield stays in the infield kind of deal. Shenanigans.
That's what it looked like. I mean, there was so much stuff.
See, and I mean, maybe just because I'm how old I am, that doesn't sound like any fun to me. None. Like, no fun, sir. I mean, I'm sorry. That just, I no thank you. I mean, remember, Lucas is laughing at me. Why, does this, do you think this would be fun, be an infield guy?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, no. like sitting there, just standing there watching the draft last night in Detroit. You're just standing there watching a stage for 4 hours. I don't know, man. I'd rather consume it via the television on a soft, cushy, couch or chair with your favorite beverage in a restroom nearby. But again, that's probably just because I'm like all of a sudden the old guy now.
And I think one word that you need to throw in there with the restroom is clean restroom, and not where, you know, somebody has.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, like it doesn't have to be like Bucky's clean, okay? But just mostly clean. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
There's just, you know, there's a concert every May, I think. And it's moved around some because of some of the terrible weather that they've had. But you bring it up, Woodstock. It's called Rocklahoma, and it's in northeastern Oklahoma near Pryor. And they just go out in a pasture and bring in Foreigner and whatever kind of, I mean, Rob Zombie. I mean, they bring in all these bands, and it's like a 3-day event. These people out there camping.
The music festival.
Yeah. It just, I'd rather just someone take a pinky than go.
Now, come on, man. You could survive. You could keep your pinky and survive a 3-day binge at an outdoor music festival.
No, I couldn't.
But yeah, that doesn't. Yeah, I'm with you, man. And I think that's the jam for some people, but. I mean, you know, that's just not, I could do a day or half a day or, you know, get after it. But yeah, like the all day thing and like some of those Woodstock documentaries, man, it's pretty painful to watch and somewhat scary. So not that any of that, this stuff is that, but anyway, just to your point.
Right. Talladega. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people are built differently, that's for sure, where they can.
They're mentally tough. It. You and I are not. I mean, we fully admit it. I'm okay with that.
Ding! Oh, all right. We'll check the calendar next here on 100.7 The Score. I'm Hax in rainy Lawrence, Kansas, and Level has stepped in from the bullpen, and it's great to have him on this morning. More coming up here on The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Don't forget, at 10:45, we'll give you the secret word of the day. So you can go enter it at 100.7thescore.com.
Honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle?
No, is that? Oh, I was just guessing. I didn't know.
I don't even know what it is. Luke is going to have to help me out.
Porcupine. No. Okay. Mistletoe. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm trying to derail your secret word tease, and I've screwed up. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You could win big cash prizes through the Raymar stations, like 100.7 The Score, and the Home Zone, helping you make your house a home. Lucas, let's check the calendar, please.
Your daily look at what's happening in the world of sports, birthdays, and holidays. Let's check the calendar.
All right, so it's World Alien Day, Autobahn Day, Child Care Professionals Day, Get Organized Day, Hug a Friend Day, Hug an Australian Day, International Chernobyl Disaster Remembrance Day, National Arbor Day, National Dissertation Day, Hairball Awareness Day, Help a Horse Day, Historical Marker Day, Kids and Pets Day, National Pretzel Day, Richter Scale Day, Static Cling Day, and World Intellectual Property Day. Oh, geez.
It's a lot.
That's like the most we've had ever.
Yeah, that's
I think the one that I'm most interested in is Pretzel Day.
Aunt Annie's in the mall, man.
Yeah, I've never had that. Is it good?
Yeah, it's as you would. It's top of the line ballpark pretzel fare. You know, like sometimes you can go to the ballpark or stadium or whatever, and you know you can get the pretzel that's been there the game before, or it's colder, whatever. But you're always going to get like the best version of said thing at Aunt Annie's, and then they do these cinnamon things, and you know you can dabble if you're and that always great lemonade. I'm a big lemonade guy, so man, yeah. Dude, shout out to the pretzel.
You're making me want some of the pretzels and some lemonade. I would take that. Take that right now. I had, at TCU, I give them some credit when it comes to their concessions. They have, you come down out of the middle of the top and you've got the regular concourse level, and they have this line of preparation and product where you can, cut up the veggies and all that stuff. And then they have open flame kind of a charbroil type deal. And so their burgers are really good, but I had a pretzel the last day and it was garbage.
See? Yeah. I hate that.
And when you said it was sitting there the day before, that's what it felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Hey, are we, you're more plugged into the basketball, for a lot of reasons. You're not chasing baseballs through the Midwest. You've got good connections, obviously. Have you heard anything on the coaching front for Texas Tech Hoops, or anything on the transfer market? Anything that you can share?
Well, there's, obviously there's there's some rumors and things like that, or people that kind of connected Grant's got to go hire an assistant coach is what you're talking about because of Coach Smart leaving. And honestly, I mean, Clay Wilson leaving was you're happy, but also it's just like bittersweet type deal because it's like it's good opportunities for some of these guys and all that, but maybe you get to know them and it's
Clay. Clay's a good Okie too, man.
I mean, he's just really good at what he did. Ivy League guy. Well-rounded and player development and all those things. But, yeah, from Oklahoma and went to the Ivy Leagues and then spent some time with Grant and staff at North Texas and was here last year and goes with Coach Smart to be, a full-fledged assistant coach, I think is correct. So, yeah, there's a few spots that you have to fill. There's a couple of things to hit on there. One is that there's been a lot of rumblings just in the industry in general about a lot of mid-major coaches being tied to some of these, like I'm talking head coaches at the mid-major level being tied to some of these power four assistant spots, to which you're thinking like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But a lot of you've just seen or heard a lot of rumblings about it, because I think that most of these mid-majors, their entire rosters have gotten to the portal. There's not a lot of NIL opportunities at these places. And I think that some of these folks have said the pay is about the same. This is just like an uphill battle. You know, like I can't, you know, and so I need a more stable situation, whatever. To each his own on what, you know.
I
so
can see it.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, what he ends up with. But I also think you can't rule out the possibility of him making only he knows what he really wants and how it needs to fit and skill set you're looking for and all those things. But, you know, you can't rule out either hiring somebody that's tied to a player or two. You know, that's kind of part of the equation at times, too.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. And it's good business, if you will. I mean, that's just kind of how it works sometimes. Like, I think there's some there was some rumblings about some visitors being in town this weekend, but they've got 5 or 6 spots left to fill. But what you're going to see is here's what they desperately need to be able to ready to roll next year. You need a point guard, okay, in the worst way, and then you need you probably need another, like, you know, forward/center, another big, just to add to EY and Frederico times two. You know, that you need somebody else in that mix. Yeah, you and I are gonna have to work on that and how we're gonna refer to him. But yeah, Frederico squared times two. I don't know what. Yeah, we need a nickname there. And by all accounts, great guy, big time defensive presence. But yeah, that's what they really, really need. But Hacks, I'm gonna tell you, man. You go look at like the preseason top 25 that they're kind of updating with these portal additions, and it looks like this: Kansas 1, Houston 2, Iowa State 3, Arizona 9th, Baylor 10th. This is what you're seeing, and like it's only, I mean, in the last few days, the Arizona Wildcats added the Horizon Player of the Year. You just mentioned Ryland Griffin from Bama going to Kansas. Duke just added Jeremy Roach for what was rumored to be like over $1 million. I mean, so this thing is loaded. Loaded.
Yeah, I get to wondering if you're going to have mid-major basketball. I mean, you'll have it, but like, the allure of going to be the head coach at Bradley right now is, I would say, not as much as going to be a big-time assistant at Michigan State.
Yeah.
I mean, where you're going to go make more money. I don't think it's – I think you, from especially lower mid-major levels, I mean, if you're like Western Illinois or something like that, if you can find your way to being an assistant at Michigan – then you're going to be making a ton more. You're not going to have to live in Macomb, Illinois. All you got to do is bring in that one player, and then now we're going to start asking you to get other players. The onus, the responsibility is not 100% on you to try to win in these little towns. I think you're going to start seeing the gulf even separated more. Yeah. But then you do, every March Madness, you see some mid-major make a run. So I don't know. It is just...
Oakland. Shout out to Oakland.
The Oakland Golden Grizzlies out of Rochester Hills, Michigan. Perfect example. Have one dude just get walked like he's that, you know, the meme of the guy walking in the fire, you know? That was him that day when he ended Cal's career as the Kentucky head coach and put him square in Northwest Arkansas. Tremendous. That's hour number one. We'll come back with hour number two. Myself and Chris Lovell having a good time today on a Friday. Stay with us here on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us today. You're listening to the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. He's Chris Level, filling in for David Collier this morning. I'm Choice in for Hacks. A few questions in on the chat line already. We'll get to some of those in a little bit for Ask Level. Do you see chocolate is in danger?
Okay, is this some sort of...
No, this is not a euphemism or anything along those lines. It's not a dog's name. It's chocolate. There is
The cocoa bean?
Yeah, exactly. There's a pandemic raging through a disease ravaging the cacao trees. Is that how you say it? Whatever.
Cocoa?
No, C-A-C-A-O. Whatever that is. That is what chocolate originates from. Anyway, in West Africa, in Ghana and the Ivory Coast, is where more than half of the world's chocolate originates. In West Africa. And there is a disease that is going through the stems and roots of these trees and killing off a ton of these trees. So they're literally having to give vaccines to the plants, to the trees, to try to keep them alive and not kill off the...
Are the trees pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine?
Well, I don't know if they've taken a stance yet.
Oh, okay, good.
I think they are getting forced into it. So, okay, I mean, yeah. So they'll probably...
Well, yeah, man. We need our baby Ruths, man. You know, we need some...
I know.
Yeah, that's right.
Some Snickers and all that.
Okay,
so watch
out. I was completely unaware of chocolate virus, cacao tree
thing. So we'll probably be paying $4 for a Snickers bar next year is what...
Okay, gotcha.
Probably,
all right.
Probably how it'll... It'll work out. But anyway, Big 12 Big East battle was announced officially in official capacity yesterday, but John Rothstein reported a few days ago. The matchups there, you see all these matchups, you're like, all right, that's pretty good. You like that? And then get down to Texas Tech and DePaul. What was your initial reaction to...
It's pretty much become a bit of the norm, at least in that one. You've gotten, you got Georgetown here a couple years ago. They were coming off of an awful season.
Yeah,
I mean, only like Pacific would have been worse last year as from a win loss record compared to DePaul. They are, I mean, I think Choice they were 0-1. Or one end, I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, I think, was their record like, their whole record was like 3-something.
Yeah,
right? I mean it was a really bad basketball team.
Like all-time bad, like hard to be this bad.
Yeah, fired
record.
Their coach midseason.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and it just was, total rebuild. I mean, Elijah Fisher, that's where I semi-paid attention to DePaul because he had transferred there and I think he's
back in the portal. Yeah.
Yeah, he's back in the portal.
3-29 last year, 0-20 in conference play.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, I guess I was like going, well, this is kind of what they've done to you. I don't know how they, if it's TV folks, if it's the conference has any say-so, but it's kind of, I was just used to it. It's going to hurt you, though. This is supposed to help your RPI, and these are supposed to be built-in games to – and all that, if anything, it would hurt you. So you need to, you know, and like your schedule up in Brooklyn the week before Thanksgiving, you know, it's Texas, Syracuse, and then I think St. John's maybe?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, so there's not just a ton of juice there, potentially.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder if they'll do anything else like non-conference wise now, or if they go, you know what, we're just not really going to worry about it because like right now, if you look at any kind of preseason top 25, Kansas 1,
yeah,
Houston 2, Iowa State 3, Arizona 9,
top 10,
Baylor 10. I mean,
yeah,
uncle, but yeah. But that sucks. I mean. But I'll say this: I hope you beat them by a ton because they, they had a lot of fun at your expense up there a couple of years ago in Chicago. Agreed. In an overtime game when TJ Shannon kind of had a homecoming of sorts as a freshman, and you lost in overtime. I think Davide Moretti missed a few free throws to send it to overtime or in overtime or mm-hmm. maybe both. So I love the city of Chicago, though. That was one of my favorite places to, you know, from a road trip standpoint. I enjoyed that thoroughly. But yeah, so you owe them a bit of payback. But
yeah, I mean, I think largely this was about as
blah
uninteresting of a matchup as you could have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else would have been at least a little more interesting.
I agree. Creighton, Butler.
Yeah, every single one.
Yeah, because you got thrown into the hornet's nest last year at Butler.
Right.
You've had some tough matchups with Creighton at neutral sites over the years.
And you can even say the Georgetown one 2 years ago, at least you still have the name of Georgetown.
And Patrick Ewing.
And you
got
to see Patrick Ewing come to town.
That's right.
I mean, that there was something to that.
Yeah, but sell me on DePaul.
It's hard to do.
Big bag of nothing.
And it just stinks because you look at some of the other ones and you definitely could have drawn a better matchup, but for some reason, TV or whoever's deciding this chose,
let's just punt.
We'll put this at the bottom. I guess the consolation is you could have been the team that didn't play. Because none of the four new teams, the four brand new teams are playing in
and
this.
You may have been better off there.
We don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if DePaul is going to be that bad, surely they won't be that bad again. Not three wins.
Well,
bad.
They're not going to be like worlds better.
No, but if they're going to be that bad, and if I think UCF was the other one, I think there's five that didn't go in there. Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, and UCF aren't participating. Yeah, who knows how bad their RPI or net's going to be eventually, and you usually count on those games to be little boosters in the Big 12.
Yeah, but this is also why, you know, you've ballooned your conference schedule to 20 games instead of 18. So basically you can factor in two more conference games, which are going to be, even the worst teams are going to be better than some of this non-conference stuff, and that's why your conference schedule is going to start in late December.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you may have played two conference games already by the time New Year's Day or Eve gets here.
It's crazy.
It's it's the calendar, you know? I say at least one conference game by then. It also means that a lot of these MTEs that you see everybody going to, and everybody goes, let's go to this place and this place, or everybody's got a couple of things going in the non-conference. A lot of times now, or I think what you're going to see now is like, okay, well, really we can just do one of these things.
Yeah.
You know, because we've got the two extra conference games. We can maybe do a one-off neutral site game somewhere. But some of those MTEs may, in fact, go away a little bit, because I think that the 20-game conference schedule or some of this stuff is going to kind of become normal, because this is what the TV folks have paid for.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
And mind you, tech schedule, you already know one more Power 5 that's coming into town that you normally haven't had in recent years, and that's the Aggies coming in on Thanksgiving weekend.
And you add that's there may be more great example. That may be more home and home type stuff.
I hope so.
And
I
agree.
Most college basketball fans want that.
Yeah, you don't – like, who wants to go to Kansas City to watch the Champions Classic in an empty arena with a bunch of four – not even regional schools, or like the Brooklyn deal.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Tech has gone to New York so much over the last 10 years that the novelty is just not even there. You know, it's just like, okay, ho-hum.
Sure.
You know, I mean, when you went to play Duke the one time, or you went to play, you know, at the Garden, you know, in part of the preseason NIT or whatever, but, you know, You've been to freaking Cancun, you've been to Maui, you've been to Brooklyn and New York, you've been to Kansas City, you've been to some place in Connecticut that I can't even remember, some casino, hotel and casino up there, the whatever it was.
Something Sun? No.
Yeah, Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did you say Something Sun?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mohegan Sun.
I couldn't think of that together.
Yeah, we put that together.
There you go. Mohegan
Yeah,
Sun.
But it's just like, but yeah, if you get back more to home and home, you know, that's where the juice is, and that's what would mean, I think, in some ways, more revenue for your, you know, basketball program.
I sure hope so. I hope we get to more home and homes.
Sure.
I think it makes, you know, records.
Hope is not a strategy.
Well, then I'll let you get on the horn of your buddy Brett Yormark and start making that happen. All right, keep the questions coming in. A handful in so far for Ask Level. That's coming up next as we bid adieu to Level for today. It's the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Bring them out, bring them in. The questions for the one and only Chris Level. He's to my right. This won't negate the Ask Level podcast. You can still bring us questions for that coming up.
yeah,
whatever.
Please do.
Yeah. Email me, send them in on Twitter, whatever. We will we'll answer those questions, but you can bring them in right now for immediate answering. He's Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. Got about 15 minutes left with Level. Actually, 10 minutes left. So get those questions in. My first question to you, over under 2.5 Red Raiders taken in the draft this
weekend. It's a great number.
I asked Collier this
yesterday. That's a great number. I'll say I think all three of your guys are going to get drafted.
Okay.
And I think there's the wild card, like, is it going to shock me if, like, a Jalen Hutchings, if somebody takes a chance on, like, I'm just throwing out names here, like a Baylor Cup or one of those offensive linemen or whoever? Because you never know, man. Like, sometimes people get at the late end of the draft, they're like, I don't want to battle anybody else for this kid for a free agent deal. I'd rather just take him, you know, whatever. But I do think Rabbit is absolutely going to get drafted. Miles Cole, it would stun me if he's not drafted, if he just went undrafted. I mean,
sure.
Guys like that, he's just too big and athletic and all those things. And yes, he lacked production, but I think somebody's like, okay, this is a really big human. There's not that many of those out there in the world. Let's take a chance. Okay, so maybe it's third round, maybe it's seventh round, somewhere in between. And then Tyler Owens, I think because of his versatility and his – ability to run and his special teams work, I think he's very valuable to somebody. And yes,
agreed.
Durability and all those things have been in question. And his, I don't even remember what he said about the earth or whatever. I didn't even catch up.
Wait, was he a flat earther? Like,
I think there was some criticism there. Somebody asked. I can't remember all the.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to be like goaded into clicking it because I didn't really care. I was just, I wanted to like just evaluate him as a football. And I talked to him last weekend. Speaking of, he told me actually at the Red and Black game, he specifically said to me, I don't guess I've said anything about this, but he said the Cardinals and the Saints have been the ones that I've been in most contact with. Now, that was as of last Saturday.
Yeah.
But that's what I was like, hey, man, hope you're healed up. Hope you're doing good. Rooting for you. And he's a great kid. I mean, he really is a great kid, great personality. And he's versatile, and he's got some measurables to him. So I think those guys get picked, and maybe somebody else.
Someone that's new to the podcast game says, Level, what's your podcast called?
Ask Level.
It's the Ask Level podcast. You can find it pretty well anywhere podcasts are, and you can go straight to the Double T 97.3 website, and it's linked there as well. Level. Oh, this one's a good one from Shelly. Ask Level, how's Chuck's shoe and belt game today?
Oh, man.
He did peek his head in earlier.
To get me in trouble. Yeah, I think I just made some remark to Chuck.
So
this
good.
Is years ago now. This is a long-time listener here. Yeah, you gotta match brown and brown, black and black. You can't do one of the
match
other.
Match your leathers is what you do.
Well,
right?
You know, you know, that's when you have the dress shoes and the whatever. Yeah, you can't go brown on one and black on the other. It just, in no way is that okay.
That was Level's last day at the office is what it was.
No. But I think Chuck at one time, he's like, man, I got dressed in the dark. Take it easy on me. It was, you know, whatever. It was all just good fun.
Yeah.
Shtick.
Level, if you're predicting a top five for Big 12 football next year, what would it be?
I don't think I'd have the Red Raiders in it, just so I'm clear. I think I would have.
Vegas does.
Who?
Vegas.
None. I think you'll see updated. I bet they don't anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. I think because, I mean, things change. When you don't have a quarterback finish spring football,
sure.
I think where you do have really a lot of benefit is your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you aren't and are you talking Vegas does as in like over under win totals?
I'm going
or
with
predicted finish?
Well, chance to win the Big 12.
Okay.
You are, I think you're sitting right at fifth.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think your over under win total is at like eight and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Eight.
So you have a very favorable schedule. You don't play the Kansas schools, you don't play Utah.
Yep.
And I think this is a benefit to you. Okay.
Totally agree.
It's very favorable. However, I think that when you have a just a, whether that question mark is in Sharpie or pencil or an erasable marker, I don't know. The quarterback thing just makes me just a bit tense,
totally
a bit nervous. Yeah. And maybe that's all for naught. Maybe I have every reason to be just to worry. Utah, Kansas State, Arizona. I think West Virginia is not getting a lot of talk.
They're not.
And I think that they should be. I think Oklahoma State, for obvious reasons, should be. I mean, there's five right
there.
They're
lower on list because of how tough their schedule is.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's fair. But what's going to happen is there's going to be somebody like a Texas Tech, a Baylor, a TCU, a Central Florida that people are like, okay, they're not top five. They're absolutely going to be.
Yeah.
And there's going to be somebody up in that upper echelon that is just not. Now, we could have questions about Kansas. It's like everybody's giving them all this praise and Lance Leipold's a god and this and that. Okay, Lance, what have you ultimately really won? You just kind of turned around a terrible football program. You also are going to hang your hat on a quarterback that cannot, I repeat, cannot stay healthy. For all the questions we have about Baron Morton, if you're looking at Jaden Daniels, like there's just no way you could not have a Sharpie question mark there because he
Absolutely.
Hasn't proven it.
Yep.
And so – again, lots of questions, lots of my concern for the Red Raiders is your quarterback, and then I'm still, until I see something different, that offensive line is going to be a question for me.
T-Money 806 says, "Lovely, you have a boat payment due and moonlighting?" I guess asking why you're here this morning.
Get the, a what?
A boat payment due and moonlighting?
Oh, a boat. Okay. I'll
You got a boat payment?
I'll never own a boat. Okay. I mean, it's just I feel confident. You know, you never want to say never, right? I mean, it's a tricky word to say. You can't take it back. That's talking in absolutes, but never own a boat.
Yeah.
And then the other part
I don't know
was,
what the moonlighting is. I guess this is your moonlighting.
Oh, I see. Okay. I told Jamie Lynn every time I talk to him, I'm like, hey, man, you ever need me? You know, rainy day, man, holler. I'm always happy to help. So, yeah, I love doing it.
Level, will Tech be firing anyone like A&M did?
Yeah, okay, so are you aware of this?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit
yesterday.
Okay,
yeah, this is the Eagle in Bryan College Station reported that Trev Alberts, the new athletic director at Texas A&M, had removed various management administrator level type positions, like I don't know how many was it, 8 to 12?
Yeah, the number two in charge, the deputy AD, the COO, and then it goes lower from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, like high ranking positions and really good people.
Yep.
And the way that the Eagle reported this is that in preparation for us paying players,
right,
we're making these changes. I can't imagine that A&M of all schools would have needed to go this route.
Sure. I don't know. They have a lot of payments towards a certain former coach that maybe that
– Fair. Very, very fair.
Maybe that's why they had
and,
to.
And you – but, I mean, will changes take place because schools are going to have to start paying kids and revenue sharing? Yeah. I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know – because my question is – I know we're kind of running out of time here.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to revenue share? Because only two sports, and sometimes I guess it's just one, two sports create the revenue, and that's football programs and men's basketball. In right. most places, I was in most, I'm going to go 85, 90, 95% range, okay?
I think that's fair.
And so just those athletes get to revenue share, and then when we get to revenue share, do I get to fine you when you're late to class or you miss a weight room session if you're going to be an employee?
Great question.
You know, I mean, all the stuff. So there's just lots of – and then, you know, schools may have to, like, cut sports or, like, turn them into club sports
because
they can't
– Might have to, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So anyway –
Woodman, have you decided?
But I hope, to answer the question, I hope not. I hope you don't want to see anybody lose their job. College athletics needs more support, more leadership, more structure, not less.
Yeah. Says Woodman, have you decided what you're wearing to the Derby yet?
Seersucker. He told me he's got like this feather coming out of this fancy hat.
I actually do have seersucker pants.
It's pink. There's some puce involved with like the pocket square. The tie is mauve, I was told. And I think that the animal print on his shoes,
whoa.
Want to pick. We do want to pick. So, hey, man, appreciate it.
You're not that far off.
Lucas, Choice, thanks for having me. Love everybody here. Thanks for being nice to me today, listening out there, and we'll do it again sometime.
Hey, for sure. Had a blast.
And we're on the podcast things all the time. So.
Every week, Ask Level Podcast. You'll hear Level on a weekly basis. Level, have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, keep hope alive, dude. See ya.
For Chris Level. For Jeff Haxton and for Lucas White, I'm Choice Woodman. This has been The End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score. The Bottom Line coming up next.
This has been The End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.